When you have that kind of foundation, now the Holy Spirit can build.
That's right.
A lot of people are trying to include God into their plan. I'm going to tell you what happened when I got called to the ministry. I wanted to know what kind of preacher I was. I didn't want to tell Elder Lewis that I'd been called till the Lord told me what kind of preacher I was, and I wanted to know how it was going to work. And so when he called me that night, he woke me up. He gave me this dream, and I woke up. I said, "What is it, Lord?" I could sense that he was in the room. He said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you should be a vessel of honor." And I said, "He done it. I can't get out of this." So I got up. I went in the living room. I said, "Lord, what kind of preacher am I going to be? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it?" And I felt pressure. I felt like, you know, from my own mind, you know, not from God. And he said, "Follow me."
Wow.
And he wouldn't say anything else. So I got up and went back to bed. And weeks went by. I said, "Well, I'm going on a fast. I'm going to see what he'll tell me." And I said, I went on a Daniel fast. No meats, no sweets, nothing but water till God tell me what kind of preacher I'm dying. And I had to work, so I had to eat something. So no meats, no sweets till he tell me what I am. And that was three men on the radio broadcast. I think it was Jim, Run, and Herb back then.
Yeah, I remember them.
And I was, I had been fasting about a week. I don't know how many weeks or how long, but I would not eat meat sweets till he told me what I needed to know. And they were talking about how one of them said that when God called them, they got a sheet of paper. And they wrote down all the things that they wanted God to do.
Yeah.
And then they were going to write down all the things that God wanted them to do. And then they were going to sign. And the Lord said, take out another sheet of paper. So they took out a blank sheet of paper. And the Lord said, "Now sign it."
Wow.
"And I'll fill in the blanks."
Oh, boy.
And I broke my fast on that.
Wow.
And because that bear witness, he said, "Follow me."
Amen.
And I didn't know what kind of preacher I was. So I told Elder Lewis, and eventually I still didn't want to be a preacher. And I preached my first sermon. And I was in his office right before I preached. And the Lord gave me a word. That was the moment I was interested.
Wow.
He gave me, my first message was, "We must believe God."
Amen.
And when I saw the God, and then...
No, that is big as God.
Yeah.
"We must believe God." When you believe God, that statement is big as God,
it
brother.
Is.
I mean, that's a big one, brother.
And it's like, I was no expert, but that message came out perfect.
Wow, praise God.
And I said, "Lord, so many people say they'd have doctrines that don't line up. I don't want to preach a doctrine that's not the Word of God." So I had a strategy. I'll only preach what God give me. No more, no less. And that's the only way I could do a perfect work. And it worked. And so that was a lady that said, she read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for years. And that word got in my heart. And
amen.
Elder Lewis would always get a message from the Lord. And then through that, along with other things, the Lord taught me to follow him. And I made a lot of adjustments. And so when the Lord is building on a foundation, it gets stronger and stronger.
Absolutely.
And it causes you to be anointable.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you go from faith to faith.
Yeah.
See, faith, that's saving faith, to growing faith.
Uh-huh.
See, and God builds on that.
He builds on that, and
it gets you to a place where, like you said, you can become anointable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's when you can carry the anointing. You know, that vessel unto honor. Remember what he said? He said he's going to make you a vessel unto honor.
Yeah.
Well, a vessel carries something.
Carries something.
See, and you're carrying that anointing, you see. You know, wherever you go. You know, speaking of that, you know how you asked, you know, the Lord made me think about Keith Moore years ago. You know, I know Keith, and I've met him before, but I remember when he was at Rhema. You know, this is when he was ministering at Rhema, working for Rhema. After he got out of Rhema Bible Training Center, he would do the healing school.
Yeah.
And he said he is kind of feeling pretty good about himself, you know. And he said, asked the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, just how much of this is me, and you know, and how much of it is you? Uh-huh. You know, because he's kind of feeling kind of real good about himself, uh-huh. you know. So he's fixing to go step in the pulpit right before he said that, you know. Uh-huh. So he gets up in the pulpit and he opens his Bible and his mind goes blank. He could not remember anything. He couldn't remember scripture. He couldn't remember anything. Mm-hmm. So he said, I stumbled around, couldn't do anything. So I walked over to the piano, I'm going to sit down and play. Mm-hmm. He couldn't remember how to play the piano. So he turns it over to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And he leaves, and he said, it was like that for a week. Wow. And finally he said, God, I know it's all you. He said, you call me. You have equipped me. It is all you. And he said, and God, and then it came back. As a minute, he said, that God let him know how much of it was him. You know, and
you know, the anointing, it's a grace.
Oh, yeah.
It's a gift. When salvation is a grace. Oh, it's a gift. Yeah, we didn't earn this.
No.
When you live a foundation of life, God gives you the anointing. You didn't earn it. He just gave it to you. Even the spirit, it's a gift. And it's there to share. It's to be a blessing. It's to help you be a blessing. We're handling holy things.
Oh, absolutely. You know, God told Abraham, I blessed you to be a blessing. Yeah. And that's what he's done to us.
And as I drew near to the Lord, I knew that the Lord hates pride. So I said, Lord, help me hate it. When it came, everything that could stop me, temptation, lust, greed, I said, Lord, help me. I learned to do it in His strength.
Oh, absolutely. No way you can do it.
I don't want to hate it like Thurston would hate it. I want to hate it like Jesus hates it. Yeah. I want to hate it like the Father hates it. And I want to hate all sin like the Holy Ghost hates it. Then the Lord can build. But when the Lord taught me these principles and I act on it, then you find yourself doing greater things. I remember years ago, Pastor Jim IV, mm-hmm. He was youth pastor, and he pointed out how God anointed Saul with a vial of oil, but he anointed David with a horn of oil.
That's right.
But David was a worshiper. Well, as you go forward doing God's work, the anointing increases upon your life. You're growing from glory to glory. Some people say the next level. I like to say the next glory.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And when that happens for you, you worship God. He's enabling you to reach a greater audience. He's gonna, and when the miracles happen, just enjoy the ride.
That's right. That's right. But impartations, glory to God.
It's going. That's what happens. And I've seen it in many ways. The second broadcast, radio broadcast, I felt the oil of God just roll, come down my face.
Glory to God.
and God is moving by His Spirit. He never stops working. He's still working with things you said years ago and forgot about. And that's how it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying it's not just for us, but for everybody that here. Use these tools, all the broadcasts on this website, the radio, use it to grow. Use it to grow by.
Build that foundation.
Yeah, and it's all these things are foundational.
Absolutely.
And I think God, when I first came to this church, the Lord said everybody that come to this church, He said every family that come to this church, they got promoted.
Amen. Praise God.
I first walked in, my wife couldn't come because my daughter was she was premature, and the doctors told us we couldn't bring her around people for a year, and because her immune system wasn't strong enough. So, but I brought my older children, and the first Sunday I came, he said every family that come to this church got promoted. That still stands. I hate to see a family leave. You know, sometimes people move out of town or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But and sometimes they get called into ministry.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Remember, promotion and the foundation, you take that with you.
Absolutely. You know, you talked about when you did your broadcast and you felt that oil come down over your face. Yeah. It reminded me when God called me. I never forget it. I was wrestling with the call of God. And and I was just a young man, and it was about, I woke up, God woke me up. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and of course I was at that time I was a structural iron worker, and out of a local here in Birmingham, and I never forget, I was laying in the bed, and the Lord said, "Get up, I want to talk to you." And I said, "Lord, I got to get up in a few hours. I mean, I get up at 5 o'clock, you know, and it's 2 o'clock. You know, I'm about 5:30, and it's 2 o'clock, and I got to get up in the morning." He said, "Get up." I said, "Well, please make it quick." That's what I said. And I got my Bible, and you know, and I went and got out of bed. I didn't want to wake my wife up. And I had a little. We had a hall between. There's the bath was my bedroom, then there was the bathroom, and then there was my girl's room. My son's room was another back of the house. But I cracked the door on the bathroom, and I sat down. And I opened my Bible. And you ever open your Bible and only one scripture jump is sitting there and it jumps out on you, on top of your head? And it says, "I've anointed you to preach the gospel," you know. And it was like somebody took a big egg and cracked it on top of my head, and it just began to ooze down over my body. Yeah. You know, this
felt like warm, honey.
And everything in my body started. You know, and I'm not saying it's going to happen that way to everybody. You know, it just did for me.
Yeah.
And he said, "I've anointed you to preach the gospel." You know, and I sat there and wept and cried. I was afraid to open my eyes because I was afraid Jesus is going to be standing there. You know, and but I never forget that. And that same anointing comes on me today when I'm ministering. You know, same anointing comes on me ministry when I'm ministering. But you know, I was going to say this before I forget it. In this meeting coming up, the Lord spoke to me about this meeting and others. But he said there's going to be impartations.
Yeah.
You know, we're you know, up into Restoration Christian Fellowship. You know, when I minister this Faith and Healing Crusade, there's going to be impartation, water impartations. There's going to be specific anointings on people's lives.
Yeah.
Going to be imparted to them through the laying on of hands.
Yeah.
You know, if you look into the scriptures, you say that's, you know, that's how... the anointing many times would come, you know, the prophets would lay hands on them or you know, God would anoint, you know, and or they'd be anointed in some way, but God said there's going to be impartations of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And that's I'm really excited about
this. I'm excited about it.
About these meetings. And the Lord spoke to me, not only did he speak about this church years ago about, but he said there's certain churches that you'll be going to that you're to say this to, and this is going to be one of them. And but I'm excited about it, and I'm excited. And you see, here's what people need to realize is that God is not a respecter of persons, and God will use anybody. You don't have to be calling the fivefold ministry, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the anointing of God to be on your life. As a matter of fact, if you're born again, you've got a believer's anointing.
Yeah.
You know, Mark 16:16, "These signs shall follow them that believe," not that are called into the ministry.
Yeah.
"These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils."
That's right.
You know, and you can cast out devils. I have. I've had them manifest, man. Uh-huh. You know, and talk to me. You know, and make your hair. Well, because I ain't got no hair to stand up no more. But it used to make the hair stand up on the back of my head, you know.
I have a pastor friend. He was kind of down. The church didn't kind of go like he wanted it to.
Right.
And we was eating lunch one day. I said, "How many people have gotten on drugs now? How many divorced now?" I said, "When you preach, you're solving problems. You're not going to see it. People are not going to come back and tell you all the disasters that they almost did."
Oh, yeah.
But it's working. Okay. Also, the word, the everybody that received the word, I remember Bob Yandy pointed it out. They said, we're learning. What do we do with this information? He said, nothing. He said, when the Lord needs it, he'll use it.
That's right.
Every message.
Yep.
If you apply it, if you receive it, it's still there. When when the Holy Spirit needs that thought, He'll cause you to
absolutely
relay it to somebody. So, even if a person is not an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, you can still do the very same work.
That's
because
right.
If you take time and receive, it's still there.
Well, the word's there, and the word's going to bring deliverance.
That's
you
right.
Know, it's going to bring help. It's going to bring deliverance. You know,
being a Christian, you're washed in the blood. Your Holy Ghost filled. You're
That's
clean.
Right. That's right.
And the word is there, and the Holy Spirit will cause it to come up in you, just like He did for your pastor.
That's exactly right. You know, you talked about that pastor about how he was saying, you know. Yeah, you told him, he said, are people on drugs? No. Or, you know, well, see, the word was bringing deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to tell you what I saw one time. I was down in Haiti. I was ministering in Haiti. And I mean, this was back during, I don't know if you remember the siege in the 90s, but there was people dying down there. I mean, we actually had to bribe our way in. To get in, we had to bribe them, give them money to get in, you know, because there was missionaries in there we had to help. And I went in, we held a meeting, and people had walked for 2 and 3 days to get to it. This little old rock, made out of rock, it's a rock church, and it had sticks and tin. Talking about sticks that they nailed the tin to for the roof, you know, yeah. This was their church. And it was packed. I mean, you couldn't move in that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, over there, voodoo is their main religion. Uh-huh. Okay? Now, talking about the word, just the word, delivered. Uh-huh. Okay? I'm sitting there, and listen, there was voodoo priests come up on the outside with their followers and all these colorful garb, casting spells on us while we're in there preaching, all right? Uh-huh. Now, listen, I'm sitting there preaching. And all at once, this woman on the front row falls down screaming, demon-possessed, this, rah, you know. And I'm thinking, and I'm preaching, you know. And I got an interpreter over here, you know. And I said, Lord, do you want me to deal with that? I'm saying, talking to the Lord down here while I'm preaching. Do you want me to deal with that? Do you want me to stop and cast the devil out of that? Because my hair's standing. I had hair then. And I said, the hair's standing up on the back of my neck. Yeah. And listen to what the Lord said. He said, no. I'll take care of it. The word will deliver her. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting there preaching in it, and I hadn't said no more than 4 or 5 more words, and she snapped out of it, stood straight up, and sat down. Was instantly delivered. I'm going. As a matter of fact, before I left, I prayed for, his name was Enoch Ramon. He was the pastor of that church. I prayed for his mother. And I didn't see, you know, it's hard to understand. And I didn't, and you know, and the interpreter, and Enoch spoke English, but he said, I want you to pray for my mama. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And she looked frail, you know. And so I prayed for her, you know. And I left. Well, I went back about 2 years later.
Yeah.
And when I'm there, I went back to Haiti about 2 years later. A year later or 2 years, I don't know, about a year and a half later. And I preached, and she brought his mother over there. She is real healthy looking, everything. And she said, this is, you remember my mother? I said, yeah. She said, you remember you prayed for her? Yeah. I said, well, I'm glad she's doing well. She said, no, you don't understand. She was dying and eat up with cancer. It wasn't supposed to live but just like a few weeks. And God instantly healed that person. Why? Because we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. That God is still the healer, that God is still the miracle worker. Don't water it down. Preach it, I mean, with fire in your belly.
That's right.
You know, and if you'll do that, and see, the thing about it is, anybody, he said, can do it. You know, we talked a while ago, these signs shall follow them that believe.
That's right.
You know, you can preach the same thing, and I double dog dare anybody out there right now to go knock on people's doors, and say, this is how Dr. Summerall built his churches. Yeah. He'd go knock on the doors and tell them where they're from, tell them what church you're from, and say, I'm out. We're just out praying for the sick. Is there any sick in the church, in your home? Uh-huh. And start laying hands on the sick. And I guarantee you, God will start doing miracles. And you'll fill your church up, or you'll get people saved and healed.
That's right.
And you'll get to see miracles.
Yep.
You know?
That's right.
You'll get to see signs and wonders. Hallelujah.
And if you will obey the Lord, you're going to find miracles. they're just going to
happen. That's right. That's right.
And, you know, being honest is not without a fight, but don't be afraid to fight. The fight is against the enemy is going to try to stop everything. So when God give me an assignment, the first thing I do is bless him.
Amen.
I speak the word over.
Absolutely.
I speak to my will over. And I pray for I know the fight is coming. So I rebuke the fight. I rebuke the enemy. And I pray for my family, my church family, my friends. It's because the enemy will use situations to get to you.
Amen.
The day I started the website, the night I started the website, my son had a wreck. And the night I got it to work, he had a wreck, and he thought he was being robbed, so he ran right into it, and he ran right into an off-duty police officer. Because he thought, you know, he had, he thought the guy had a gun. It was three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had words. He thought he was being robbed, so he ran to that officer, and they wrote the report up, and everything was all
wow,
right.
Wow, wow.
So, when you do ministry work, it's a fight.
Oh, yeah. Fight the good fight of faith.
But I learned something. I was talking to a friend of mine. Had happened to be a prophet. And this, we're close with this one at the time. But we were standing there. He was helping me work on a car. And James said, the Lord told me, you got literature in your house. He said, you got a word in your house. So we went in the house. And I had a magazine by James Robinson, and I had one by Kenneth Copeland. And we opened it up to a page, and that's where the word God was talking about was
there. Glory to God.
And the Lord told Kenneth Copeland that if Chicago had dealt with Al Capone when he was small, it wouldn't have taken an army to get him out.
Oh, wow.
And then the word God gave Kenneth Copeland was, when you know you're going to preach somewhere, start doing warfare ahead of time. Don't wait till the day of.
Wow.
And but up to that point, whenever God would give me a word, when I get to the church, I felt the brunt of the spiritual warfare. But this time, I preached at my dad's church. He was living in those days, and he had a guest minister that ministered at Birmingham Towers, older.
Yeah.
And he invited me to preach, so I had 3 weeks before I preach, and I had that word. So every day I rebuked the enemy against that day.
Wow, praise God.
And when I preached that message, I had no interference. It was the easiest message I ever preached in those days. And after that, I would rebuke the enemy. Now,
absolutely.
And the Lord also told me, he said, when you preach, bind the spirit of blindness. And so people can hear and see, you know, bind up the spirit of blindness, because the enemy would give interference. And then I did it for a while and forgot. And I was preaching, I was going to preach at my dad's church one day, and I remembered that word. I said, Lord, how can I remember this? I done forgot to do that. I did it that morning before I preached, but I should have been doing that all along.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, practice.
Practice, wow.
I said, wow. So, that's what I said. I said, that made sense. Every time, when you practice a revelation,
it
becomes part of you.
Yeah.
And so one day I had to preach, I had to give scripture at a friend of mine's funeral. And I forgot to do warfare. See, when I teach Sunday school, everybody's a warrior here at Victory Christian Fellowship. I just forgot to do warfare because it don't seem necessary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I walked in that pulpit, I felt the brunt of the warfare.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
I forgot to do warfare. I was preaching to people that don't usually go to church.
Yeah, yeah.
And the enemy came in the church.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did what I had to do. But when we follow God, you know, practicing the word, practicing warfare, that's part of it. But you already won. The fight is fixed.
That's right.
But you have to do warfare against that day.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, prayer, you know, is a necessity. You know, Dad used to say, Kennedy Hagin, he used to say, little prayer, little power.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the truth.
Wow.
You know, I remember, you know, perky example of this is, you know, when Jesus came into the temple,
yeah,
and he cleansed the temple. He came in, he saw, you know, them selling and buying, you know, in the temple where they should have been praying.
Yeah.
He cleansed the temple, mm-hmm, and he said that my house should not be a den of thieves, but it should be a house of prayer.
That's right.
All right. And then it says that then after he did that, they brought in the lame and the sick, and he healed the sick. But notice something here. We see a principle here for the anointing of God and for healing, for miracles. All right. The Bible calls us the house of God or the temple of God. Uh-huh. Well, first we've got to cleanse our temples.
Yeah.
See? You say, well, how do we cleanse our temple, Pastor? Well, first off, we got to say, like you talked about repentance, change your heart, change your mind, change your direction. That's what repentance is. Uh-huh. But the Bible says, you remember how you talked about we go from faith to faith and glory to glory.
Yeah.
The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. Well, sanctify them through, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. We put the word of God in. We become warriors.
Yep.
That's why you said a while ago, VCF's filled with warriors. We preach the word. Say, okay, you've got, so we cleanse our temples. Mm-hmm. We begin praying again. Say, we begin to pray. You know, we're like what you said, you're doing warfare.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders.
Miracles that begin to happen. Healings begin to happen. Mm-hmm. Signs and wonders. And that's what's so important. Mm-hmm. And if a church will get back to that, you know, any church, no matter what it is, I don't care what you hang over the front of your door.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't care what the denomination. If you'll do that, you'll have signs and wonders.
Yeah, you honor God. He'll honor you.
That's right.
He'll be there.
That's right.
And the Lord wants to do great things in our lives. We're not limited.
No, that's right.
At all.
That's right. Not limited.
All of our limitations is in our mind, and that can be changed. We can do that.
Well, and faith is limitless.
Yeah, it's limitless.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And timeless.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I thank God. Lord, I thank you for all you're doing, and everybody that hear these, use these tools. God put this, brought this, website together to be a blessing, and this is, you know, revival starts somewhere.
Absolutely.
And this is something I've noticed. If you take the average Christian and hear that, and they share their testimony, now they're used to their life. They don't know how. But if you talk about what God did at different points and times in your life, any Christian, it's off the charts how spectacular it really is. Even children. If people talk about what the Lord did in their life, the enemy's trying to complicate it, and then when the Lord moves. So what I'm saying is this. When you draw near to the Lord will use your testimonies, what happened to you, things you understand because you sought the Lord. And it can help people.
Absolutely. Well, God, you know, God wants to use you.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And, you know, take what you learn here, and mm-hmm. You know, in study from men, great men and women of faith that have, the Bible says that have obtained the promises.
Yeah.
You know, and then share with others. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You know, just open your mouth and preach, man.
That's right.
You know, open your mouth and preach. Lay hands on the sick. You know.
That's how it's done.
And God will do it. And mm-hmm. and
an extension.
Okay.
All right, well, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to invite you to move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.
Amen. Well, that was good.
Oh, man, I enjoyed it.